This morning, I would like to share with you probably the most encouraging verse in the Bible that is made possible to us because of the resurrection of Jesus. You guys know, man, Jesus was, he lived a perfect life. He died, he was buried, and on the third day, that's what we celebrate today, he rose again, and he is alive, and since he's alive, he can live in us. Amen? All right, so if you have him living in you, this verse is for you. If you don't know that he is alive and living in you, man, and if God gives you the desire to invite him in, God gives you the desire to surrender everything you know about yourself to everything you know about him, just do it. Man, how many of y'all have ever given your life to Christ? And let me see your hands. You've given your life to Christ, and it was the greatest thing you've ever done. Amen? All right, look around. Now, how many of you have ever given your life to Christ and you are saying now, don't do it. It's the absolute worst thing. Once you give your life to Christ, it's eternal. You're stuck. You're in it. Don't do it. It was the most miserable thing I ever did. Let me see your hand. Look around. There's nobody. But how many of y'all like me wish you'd have done it way sooner than when you did? You! Amen. And that's what it's about. So if you don't know Christ intimately, oh man, look what God's doing over here, y'all. Little peep coming up. I know y'all are great multitaskers. I'm going to keep preaching. Y'all can keep listening. But man, I'm just going to tell you, it's the greatest thing that you would ever do is giving your life to Jesus Christ. So here's the verse in Romans chapter 8. Starting in verse 1, we're going to look at one verse today. And in that one verse, the Word of God through Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are, anybody know the rest of it? What's that? In Christ, right? Everybody just say, in Christ. Yeah, that's the key to it all, and that's what we're going to talk about here in just a minute. But he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. And so when he says, there is therefore, whenever you see a therefore in Scripture, you have to go back to the previous stuff to see what the therefore is there for. What Paul is saying in chapter 8, before he gives us all the greatness of chapter 8, He says, because of everything I shared with you in the first seven chapters, now that you know what you have, now that you know what you need, now that you know what's available, now that you know, he says, and you have Christ and you've given your life, he says that because of that, there is absolutely no way that you are ever going to hell. That's my version of it, all right? Everybody, hey, would you be able to say that? Now listen. If you believe that there was nothing you could do for your salvation, you believe that you were a lost sinner at one point and God came in and God gave you the desire and ability to see that you were lost, to see that you had no way to earn your way to heaven, to see that there was no way that you could do anything to get into heaven, no way that you could be perfect, no way. You know, when you sin, what you do is you rob God of his glory. You rob God of his glory. Every time we have sinned, we've robbed God of his glory. And so to think that you could give God glory back and pay for your salvation somehow and pay for that by giving your glory back, his glory back to him, it's ridiculous. You can't do it, but God has got to reveal that to you. You're totally depraved. You are lost. We're lost without him. And when he gives us that desire and ability to believe that, to put away our own self-achievement, our pride, and say, man, I need a Savior. And then he reveals himself as the Savior, man. And you give him your life. You are born again. And when you're born again, you are now in Christ. So he says all of that in the first seven chapters of Romans. And we're going to a little bit more, but he says, now that you know that, therefore, because of all of that, now that you have given your life to Christ, now that you are in Christ, he said, there is no condemnation. Condemnation is when you stand before the judge and the judge says, have you ever sinned? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever sinned? Let's say the judge asks you that. Let me see your hand. Have you ever sinned? Yeah. And if you didn't put your hand up now, you are a liar and you just sinned. I'm just saying. All right? Either that or you were just slothful and lazy, and that's a sin too. So, we sin. We're not perfect, and that's okay. That's how he made us. And so we're not perfect, but he made a savior to be perfect, to take our place so that he could save us. He saved us through his love. And so he says, and there is therefore now no condemnation. You stand before the judge, and he says, did you sin? Yes, I sinned. But Jesus came and lived a perfect life, never sinned, went and died on the cross. And while he was on the cross, when he was up on the cross, and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because all the sins of the world were laid on him at that point in time. And all of the sins, all of the wrath, the punishment that we were supposed to have for our sins, all the spankings. Hey, how many of y'all ever watched your brother sit down? You got to come from a different generation. Now it's like, oh, use your words. Now it's like, oh, how many of y'all did not grow up in a now use your words generation? Yeah. And again, I'm not saying anything against Ritalin. I'm just saying that back in the day, we didn't have Ritalin, man. We had paddling, all right? How many of you ever saw your brother or sister get paddled? Yeah. How many of y'all saw your brother or sister get paddled for something you did? Oh, you were that good too, huh? No, but your brother or sister got paddled. How many of you, when they were getting ready to get paddled, you said, Mom and Dad, I love my brother and sister so much, I would love to take the paddling for them. And from now on, I will take every paddling that they deserve. Every time they do something stupid and get in trouble, I will take the paddling for them. How many of y'all volunteer to do that? Really? You ain't the sharpest marble in the box, are you? No, I'm just saying, but I'm messing with you. But that, we don't do that. But that's what Christ did. Somehow between 12 and 3, on the cross, he took on all of our sins. He took not just the penalty, he took the wrath. He took our whooping for us. And nobody can survive a whooping of God's full wrath except for Christ. And that's what he did as our substitute. So he says, so Paul is able to tell us, there is therefore now, because of this, no condemnation. When you stand before the judge, he says, did you sin? Yes, I sinned. Christ is right there saying, but I paid for his sin. I took his whooping for him on every sin that we committed in the past, the ones we committed in the present, and the ones we will commit in the future. He took our whooping, so there's no condemnation. There is no chance that the judge is ever going to tell us, which he is the judge, he is the jury, he was even the substitute. There's no way he's going to tell us, hey, you know what, I changed my mind. Hey, you know what, I lied. Hey, you know what, I really didn't take her. No, he took it all for us. And when we stand before the judge, it's paid for. And it's a guarantee. That's why he says, when you are in Christ, there is absolutely no way that you're ever going to have condemnation. You're never going to be judged guilty by the judge ever again. Your salvation is secure. Can I hear amen? Amen. Man, how many of y'all are so grateful that you're not getting judged by your own works? How many are grateful that you're one day you're not going to stand before God at the great white throne judgment and say, yeah, you know, look at me. Hey, I did that. You know, look at all those other Christians. They were hypocrites. Look at them. I was better than them. I was better. It doesn't matter. When you blow perfection, you blow perfection, and the only one who can take your place is somebody who's perfect, and that was Jesus Christ, man. He did that. That's why that verse says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are what? All right, so here's my illustration. I'll get to preaching in a minute, all right? Hang on. Some of y'all were like, dude, I thought you said this only gonna be 5 minutes. They lied. All right. But it won't be long. It'll be as long as the Holy Spirit wants it. Amen? And so let's pretend this mooring buoy is Christ. All right? This is Christ. And let's see. I'll just take Ashley right here. I got Ashley. And you ever do that with your kids? I got your nose right. You know, I got it. And they take it back and put it on. Well, I got Ashley. And when she gave her life to Christ, she is now in Christ. You ever think about what it means to be in Christ? In Christ. You're in there, man. And how long are you in Christ? Hey, how long are you in Christ? How long? Hey, for those of y'all need a little hint, how long are we? For? Yes, we are in Christ forever. How many of y'all are grateful we're in Christ forever? Yeah, so we are in Christ forever, but you are in Christ. And this has implications for our past, our present, and our future. I'll try to be quick in going through this, but this is so crucial. And this is what we've been studying in the book of Romans. And we've taken some verses, but we're going to get back there next week if you'd like to come. But in the past. So here's what happened. What we're told in Romans, 3, 4, 5, 6, and all of this. What we are told is that when you come into the world, you're not a child of God. That's a lie straight out of the pit of hell. It's not what Scripture teaches. In fact, Romans teaches through Paul that you are an enemy to God because you come into the world on this side. You are born into Adam's family. How many of y'all know that y'all are part of the Adam's family? Right? Yeah, the Adam's family. You come in the world in the Adam's family. And Adam, wherefore, is by one man, sin entered into the world. Death came by sin. So death passed upon all of us. When we come into the world, we're in the Adam's family. If you were born in the dog family, what would you do? You'd bark. If you're born in the cat family, what would you do? No, you would be trying to think silently how you were going to kill your owner if you ever got the opportunity. But sorry for you cat fans, but I'm just joking. Really, I'm joking because I know you're a lot like your, forget I said that one, but if you are born into the Adam family, you're born a sinner. So what do sinners do? Yeah, you have no choice. When you come into this world, you sin. You are born, you're not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you're a sinner. You come into the world as a sinner. So what do sinners do? They sin. And there's a penalty for sin. And you have no choice but to sin because that's the family you're born. That's your nature. How many of y'all ever had to teach your kids how to sin? Did you have to teach your kids how to lie? Did you have to teach them how to be selfish? Did you have to teach them when they were in diapers in the middle of the night and they had a messed up diaper and they were hungry to wait, Ashley, wait. Oh, I'm going to wait till my mommy wakes up and it'll all be good. Is that what your kids did? They're sinners. Oh, what they did is they did what most of us would do with a messy diaper and hunger pains, right? Right? It's all about us. So that's the nature of it. And on top of that, we're told in Romans chapter 7 that as a sinner, we are married to the law. So now you have a spouse. You're married to the law, which is not a good thing. The law is great, but you're a horrible spouse. Here's what the law does. How would you like to be married to somebody that's always telling you you're wrong? Anybody want to be married to that? Well, some of y'all are being quiet right now. How about if they're always telling you you're wrong and you actually are always wrong? What a horrible marriage. And they have no ability to help you be right. So they're always pointing out your faults. They're always right. You're always wrong. And they can't help you. Man, doesn't that sound like a great marriage? That's what you're married to in the law. So the only way to get out of marriage, right? Help me out. Tiny, where's Tiny? I saw Tiny, Tiny. You guys are getting married, Tiny and Sam. Where's Sam? Right there. All right. Until what do us part? Till death. Yeah. Man, divorce ain't even an option. Murder is. I'm just telling y'all. Death do us part. Till death do us part. So how do you get out of a marriage? You die. That's how you get out of a marriage. So what happens is when you realize what you have being born into the Adams family and you need a way out, the only way out is to die to yourself. And when you die to yourself, you live to Christ. You die and say, I don't want to be the boss anymore. I want Christ to be my new boss. That's a desire. And so when you die to yourself, to the flesh, to your old nature, you die, you now are free from that relationship you have with the law. You're free from that marriage, you're dead. Now you have the ability to be in Christ. When you give your life to Christ, you are now in Christ. And when you're in Christ, you are now married to Him. How many of y'all are the bride of Christ? Yeah, y'all better get a little prettier for the wedding, I'm just saying, but no. Man, I'm saying we're married to Christ. We are in a new relationship, married to Christ because we are in Christ. And so in this, now our old man that desired to sin and that's all it was capable of doing died. You're saying, well, wait a minute. I just sinned this morning. I just did a bunch of that. That's because you live in the flesh and the flesh loves the world that Satan has created. That's why we try not to love the things of the world, but we try to love our new spouse, which is Christ. Because we're in Christ. So in the past, now He has gotten you out of a bad marriage. He's gotten you out of eternal punishment. He's gotten you out of wrath. And now in this new marriage with Him, you know what the Word of God says? It says that He still tells you, hey, you're wrong. I'm right. He still tells you those things. But through grace, He gives you the desire and ability to do the right thing. Unlike the law, now he can help you, empower you, equip you to do the right thing, to become more and more like him, which is a good thing. How many of y'all want to be more like God? Anybody here want to be more like God? Yeah. If you don't want to be more like God, then don't go to heaven. Because that's what's going to happen in heaven. We're going to be more and more like him, and it will be perfection. But as we develop this relationship with our new spouse, him as the groom and us as the bride of Christ, because we're in him, man, we become more and more like Christ. How many of you have become more like Christ since you've given your life to him, since you've been in him? Yeah, I got proof. I'm looking at some of y'all that I know, and I could tell you what scoundrels you were before God got into your life and took over. Y'all know? Hey, y'all quit pointing at each other, Eric. You know when you point, there's three fingers coming right back at you, right? I'm just saying. Unless Chuck's pointing at you too. Yeah, saw you did. So again, now in the past, he saved us from all of this. We are in Christ. So while we're here on the earth, what's the present implications of it? The present implications. Hey, Dr. Z, right there, man. Dr. Z, what if I am in Christ? What does everything in my life have to go through to get to me? Christ. Do you understand that? The people of this world, the people who don't have Christ, the people who are not in Christ, you know what? There's no purpose for their suffering. There's no purpose for the things that happen, only to survive and get through it. In Christ now, we know. Help me out with this verse if you know it. Romans 8:28. For we know that what? All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his what? Purpose. We have a purpose. The purpose is to become more like him. So we know now that we are in Christ, everything that comes into our life has to go through Christ to get to us. No accidents. Satan didn't sweep, you know, take a side swipe around to get to you, and Christ doesn't know it. Christ allows everything to come into your life that is in your life. And it's for two reasons. One, if you look at Romans 8:29, it is so that we become more like Christ. But guess what? When we become more like Christ, man, when we become more like Christ, who gets glory? God does. Man, when Chris over here does something godly, he's a godly man. I mean, not all the time, right, Sabrina? No, I'm not even put you on that position, but yeah. So when Chris does something at work that is just super godly, people are like, oh yeah, that's Chris. No. I know what Chris is. You know, we live in the flesh. We try to fight that and we crucify the flesh. But when he does something supernaturally godly, who gets the glory, y'all? God. So you can be sure in the past, you are now in Christ and there's nothing that can change that. You're eternally secure. You can be sure that right now in the present, that everything that comes into your life is by his design. And it is there to make you more like him. You have a purpose. And it may not be instant, but you follow him through it. You become more like him. And that is a good thing. And when you become more like him, he gets the glory. Amen? Yeah. But in the future, hey, let me ask you a question. Dr. Z, here's another theological question. I'm just picking on you because you're real close. You're right up here, man. And hey, is Christ ever going to hell? No. How many of y'all believe Christ is never going to hell? He's not going to live in hell. If you are in him, is there even a chance you're ever going to live in hell? No, because if Christ ain't going there, you ain't going there. If Christ's not going there, I'm not going there. Because my home is heaven, because I am where? I am in who? I'm in Christ. If it was up to me of procuring my own salvation, I'd never get saved. It was up to me. Hey, Chuck, how successful would you be in keeping yourself saved? No, yeah, we would be utter failures. It's ridiculous to think I need Christ to save me and then I got to keep myself saved. No, he's got to keep you saved. And he will, because no matter what, you are in what? You're in Christ. And how long are you in Christ for? Can anybody take you out of Christ? No, in fact, in John, he says, Jesus was trying to explain to him, he said, man, you're in the palm of my hand, and no one can take you out of my hand, right? Can anybody take you out of God, out of Christ's hand? And he said, if that's not good enough, I and my Father are one, and I'm in my Father's hand. Come on, man. Stephen, you're a strong dude. Try to take me out of this. This is my hand, not even God's. No one can take you out of God's hand. So the key is that you are found where?
In Christ.
In Christ. The key is that you're found where, y'all?
In Christ.
In Christ. So what is it? How do you know if you're in Christ? I've been asked that a lot. I'll give you one simple answer. There's a million in Scripture. But the Apostle Paul said in the first chapter of Philippians, he said, for me to live is, and to die is, which is better. So for me to live, it is focused. It is laser focused. For me to live, it is all about Christ. It's not about my investments and my business and my hobbies and my, yeah, it can have all of those, but all of those better be focused on who? Christ. I have some professional disc golfers that, for those of you who don't know, disc golf's huge, man. Go look up Professional Disc Golf Association, and you're like, whoa, I can do that, and maybe you can, but these kids are in their early 20s, and they've got hundreds of people following and sponsors, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of the most famous ones a couple of months ago at a conference that I didn't even know was going to happen. I pulled that young man aside. I saw him on TV yesterday. And pulled him aside and I said, listen, man, his name's Gannon Burr. Y'all pray for him today. Pray for him that he would not win the tournament, that he would represent Christ. Because I told him, I said, son, listen, you're a famous disc golfer. Who's given you that gift? Who's given you this opportunity? It's God Almighty who's given it to you. He can use anybody to sling plastic, y'all. But he gave the opportunity to you, bro. Now, you use it for God's glory. And the more things you give God the glory for, the more opportunities he will give you to give him glory. Our life is about him. If your life is dedicated to him, if your life is laser focused on him, for you to live as Christ, if you can say that like Paul, then guess what? To live as Christ, if you can say that, then you are where? In Christ. And if you're looking forward, again, I'm not being masochistic or sadistic, but Paul said, to die is better. To die is better. Now, that doesn't mean we take our own life, doesn't mean we go be adrenaline junkies and try to make it all happen. I see some of y'all out here that I know are adrenaline junkies. Like me, when I was younger, now I'm too old to be adrenaline junkie, I'm just going naturally. But I got hurt eating lunch the other day because a cushion was too deep. That's sad. How many of y'all now are getting hurt doing absolutely nothing? Yeah, that's horrible, but it's part of his plan. So again, man, when he says to die is better, I think it's so sad that when somebody dies as believers, we say, oh, that's so horrible. That's so tragic. Yes, it is tragic in our lives as we grieve, but the way to come out of that, what we have, the perspective we have to understand is when somebody goes to heaven, who are they with? They're with Christ, nothing blocking anything, full glory of God. And they're going to be there forever. They are now perfect. And they will be in perfection forever. How many of y'all are looking forward to that? Yeah. So I'm just going to tell you, if right now I fell dead, I ain't even covering that with the blood, man. That's up to him. If I fell dead right now, no, I am in Christ and I will be in heaven with him forever in perfection. And don't you dare cry, you man, rejoice. Come for my family. Come for the people that love me. I made a lot of people mad, so there won't be many. But comfort my family, comfort them, but comfort them with the truth that I'm in heaven and one day they will be there with me too. Amen? Amen. That's the promise I have of being in Christ now. I'm going to dig everything I can dig right now. I'm digging life. I'm doing what I can do right now as best I can. But man, don't hold me back. If Christ wanted to come back right now, yeah, man, that would be awesome. With the eclipse, if he wanted to come back Thursday, that'd be awesome too, right? I don't know. Nobody knows. But when he comes back or when I go to meet him, I know that without a shadow of a doubt, there is absolutely no way that I will be in hell. How about you? I want you to say that with me, all right? If you're even kind of have any inkling that you're responsible for your salvation or keeping yourself saved, and you don't realize it's all in Christ, you're going to find that you're going to have a hard time saying this. And if you're having a hard time saying this, maybe God brought you here to start meditating and thinking about what it truly means to be in Christ and be in him eternally and understanding what he's done for us because of the resurrection. So here you go. Help me repeat this if you think you can. You think you're big enough and bad enough and saved enough and all of this. Help me out. There is absolutely no way that I am ever going to be in hell. How many of y'all believe that? Is it because you're all that in a bag of Skittles? No. It's because you were none of that. And you were the most stale jelly beans from last year's Walmart clearance aisle. I'm just saying you were none of that. But Christ is all of that. And when we're in Christ, that's all that matters. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. If you have the desire right now to say, I give up. I want you to be my boss. I'm giving you my life. If you have that desire comes from him. Jesus told Nicodemus, it's like the wind. You don't know when it's coming, you don't know when it's leaving, but you know when it's there. And it's not here because it's gotten warmer under this hoodie, all right? But I'm just saying, if you've got the desire to surrender, truly surrender, not like, man, look at this little hole, man. You can't be halfway in Christ and halfway out. If you ain't all the way in, you ain't any in. You got to be all the way in, surrender everything. And give him everything. Give him your business. Give him your investments. Give him your dreams, all of your hopes. He will not let you down. But if you have the desire to do that, do it. You saw at the very beginning, I have people raise their hands, how many people have done it? And I ask how many people hated the fact that they did it. Not a single person raised their hand. And it's not because they were afraid of getting beat up or anything like that, but I've never met anybody who wished they hadn't given their life to Christ, but thousands like me that wish we had done it sooner. So that's what the resurrection is about. For us as believers to understand what it means to be in who? And for those who aren't in Christ, to recognize the wonderful, awesome, beautiful benefit of being in Christ. This is not my home. I'm just recruiting. Amen? That's what we're doing. And we want more people to have heaven as their home, but you can only get there through Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us your word and giving us the truth of your word. Father, I pray that you would speak to each heart right now and show them how good you are, how you took our whooping for us that we could never survive. You gave God the glory back that we robbed him of, and we could never hope to do that. You were the only one who could satisfy God in what he wanted in repayment for our sins. And he's God. He gets to choose whatever he wants. But Christ, you satisfied it. And now you gave us the opportunity to be in you. What a blessing that is. I pray, Father, for those of us that are in you, that we would understand even greater what it means to be in you. But I pray, Father, so hard that if there's somebody that doesn't know that they are in you, Father, I pray that they would surrender themselves to be in Christ. Father, I pray that from the time we're born again to the time you bring us home, I pray we would enjoy being in Christ. And I pray that you would lead us to do things so supernatural that only you could get blamed. Father, give us opportunities each day to live for you and to represent you. Help us never forget that this is not our home. We're just here recruiting. Thank you for the resurrection. Only do we as Christians have a living God who's living inside of us. And we can believe all of this through the faith that you've given us. And I pray for these things in Jesus' name.